From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on December 16th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. We got a programming note, folks. We have our next live lead taping on January 9th, 2025. That's right, in the new year, less than a month away. Be there or be square. We'll be streaming this on YouTube as well. But we want to see you and hear you, so come out to SCETV Studios in Columbia on January 9th. We'll have an invite on our website soon on southcarolinapublicradio.org. It's going to be free. We're going to have food. We're going to have drinks. Come on out. We'd love to see you. We're going to kick off the legislative session with a live lead taping on January 9th. And another programming note, we will be off the last week of December / first week of January, so we'll be back on January 7th with a new pod, and then, of course, live lead taping on the 9th. And then we just keep going. On this episode of The Lead, we look at what's going on this week, from the State House to Congress and more. Senator Lindsey Graham shared his thoughts on President-elect Donald Trump's defense secretary nominee, as well as what to do about Dreamers. Scott Morgan looks back at former Congressman John Spratt's life, and we also remember former State Senator Kay Patterson, and look at some House pre-filed bills. Now, we want to hear from you. We have our Hot or Not list for 2025 coming out very soon. It's going to be a standalone pod soon. We'll tell you when it comes out, but we need you to weigh in. 803-563-7169. That's your way to get your voice heard so we can find out what is in and out for the new year. You don't want it between me and AT because it's going to be messy. We need you guys to weigh in. Let us know what we need to be looking forward to in the new year. 803-563-7169. Please, please, please. It's all going to be baby focused. I can't do that. Let's look at what's on tap for this week at the State House. The State Electoral College meets Tuesday at 10 a.m. to certify the election results. There we go. The House and Senate have pre-filed bills that you can find on scstatehouse.gov on the homepage right there. Look for the link. And we'll have a look at some of those from the House shortly. Up in Congress, this is Congress's last week in session, and they are itching to get out of town. Maybe once they pass a continuing resolution to, you know, keep the federal government funded and functioning, they have until December 21st, a little Christmas present. Check your stockings because the Federal Open Market Committee meets on Wednesday, where they are expected to make a 0.25% cut to interest rates. Stay tuned for Fed Chair Jay Powell's presser. And looking at the Sunday shows, Senator Lindsey Graham was on Meet the Press with Kristen Welker, where he talked about President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominees, including embattled DOD Secretary candidate Pete Hegseth. Take a listen.
Yeah, I'm in a good place with Pete unless something I don't know about comes out. These allegations are disturbing, but they're anonymous. I asked him point blank, were you drunk in a bar and got up and said, let's kill all the Muslims? He said no. There's one allegation in a police report about sexual assault. That person has the right to come forward to the committee. But about mismanagement of money, about having a drinking problem and saying inappropriate things, all of these are anonymous allegations. He's given me his side of the story. It makes sense to me. I believe him. Unless somebody's willing to come forward, I think he's going to get through. Remember Kavanaugh? Five people accused Justice Kavanaugh of misconduct. Three were outright lies. The other two, I think, were not credible. So we're not going to let that happen to Pete. You're not going to destroy his nomination based on anonymous sources. People have to come forward and make credible allegations, and we'll see if they do.
Well, Pete Hegseth did sign a non-disclosure agreement with this person who came forward to accuse him of sexual misconduct. Do you want to see that? Should that type of information be released? Do you want
to hear from said, yeah, yeah, he said, yeah, he told me he would release her from that agreement. Yeah, I mean, just think about what we're talking about. I'd want to know if anybody nominated for a high-level job in Washington legitimately assaulted somebody. I've known Pete for years. I met him in Afghanistan. I've heard nothing but good things about his service over there. He's a friend. The Pete Hegseth, I know that this is not a problem I've been aware of. However, if people have an allegation to make, come forward and make it. Like they did in Kavanaugh, we'll decide whether or not it's credible. Right now, he's being tried by anonymous sources. That will not stand. I'm pretty consistent. I vote for almost every nominee. I think I voted against one or two presidential cabinet picks since I've been up here because I believe every president deserves a right to pick their cabinet. The people have to be qualified. They have to have good character. Those things are all part of the process. But my predisposition is to support presidential nominations, just not for Republicans, but for Democrats. So at the end of the day, yeah, people will push you to do things up here. It's up to you to resist. I feel very comfortable in the way I do my job. You can have your say with me and I will listen, but I'm going to do what I think's best for the country, and that's have a process that works.
Graham also had this to say when Welker asked him if he believes that Dreamers, those who are here under DACA, will have a path to legal citizenship by the end of Trump's second term.
Only if we clean up the border. I was on the Gang of Eight bill doing comprehensive immigration. I've been on every Dreamer bill there is. But what's happened under President Biden, you've allowed 13 million people come in here legally. Until we deport people here illegally, why would you legalize? And if you legalize one person now, there'd be a run on the border. There will be no legalization. There will be no Dreamer bill until we lock our border down. And the number one job for the Budget Committee in the United States Senate is to pass a border security bill on day one. I want to cut taxes, but that comes later. To my friends in the House, we're playing Russian roulette with our national security. Terrorists are all over the place trying to get into the country. 250 people die a day of fentanyl poisoning. What we will do in the Senate is come up with a border bill supported by Stephen Miller and President Trump to lock down the border, create agents to deport people, bed space so they don't have to be released, and finish the wall. That's what we're going to do. If we don't do that first, it's national security malpractice. Secure the border first. Any legalization has to come after you secure your border.
Next up, former Democrat South Carolina Congressman John Spratt, who served in the state's 5th Congressional District from 1983 to 2011, died Saturday at age 82. Spratt's daughter, Catherine, confirmed this on Sunday. Scott Morgan has this look at Spratt's life.
Former Democratic South Carolina Congressman John Spratt has died. He had been battling with Parkinson's disease for most of the last decade. Between 1983 and 2011, Spratt served in the state's 5th Congressional District, currently held by Republican Ralph Norman. Though born in North Carolina, Spratt grew up in York County. In the 1970s, he practiced law at a York County law firm and served as chairman of the Bank of Fort Mill. Both companies were founded by his father. Spratt also ran an insurance agency and owned a farm in Fort Mill. Spratt entered Congress in 1983, and almost immediately, his knowledge of money and budgets became his calling card. He was named to the House Committee on the Budget in 1991. He became the committee's ranking minority member in 1997, and 10 years later, he was named as the committee's chairman. He served in that role for the remainder of his time in the House. In a 2010 exit interview with CQ Roll Call, Spratt described one of his proudest moments in office.
Well, I guess one of my proudest moments was the passage of the Balanced Budget Act of 1997. It actually moved the budget to surplus for the first time in 30 years, and we put the country, the government, on the soundest fiscal course we had been on in 50 years, probably since the end of the Second World War.
Spratt was a co-author of that bill. A decade after its passage, he became a main supporter of President Obama's policies, in particular the Affordable Care Act. In 2010, Spratt introduced that bill on the House floor. The decision proved politically fatal. 8 months after the bill's introduction, Spratt lost his seat to Republican Mick Mulvaney in an election characterized by a strong wave of anti-incumbency. The loss was considered among the most crushing for Democrats that year. Between 1998 and 2008, Spratt generally won re-election with little difficulty. Friends and associates say a big piece of Spratt's success was his character as a person and as an office holder. Terry Plum, former editor of the Rock Hill Herald newspaper, remembers a man whose gentle, self-deprecating humor and humility belied his origins as the Sean of one of York County's wealthiest families.
He never entered a room like he owned it. I mean, John was always sort of an unassuming guy, brilliant guy, but you'd never see him, look at him and think, hey, this is a rich, powerful lawmaker. You never got that aura from him.
But Spratt was an influential lawmaker among his peers, widely respected by both parties and in the news media. In 1996, the state newspaper called Spratt the Democrats' most reliable bridge builder across the aisle. In 2006, the Washingtonian magazine named Spratt as one of the three House members its editors would like to see most win the presidency in 2008. Spratt wielded his influence to push legislation aimed at providing more equity for working families and college students. He also pushed for increased environmental measures and an expansion of the state children's health insurance program. At home, his most lasting achievement may be his direct involvement to help settle a century-old legal battle between the Catawba Indian tribe and the state of South Carolina over land in York, Chester, and Lancaster counties.
I don't think he ever thought of himself as being a denizen of Washington, D.C. I think he always felt like he was a citizen of York County, South Carolina.
During the Vietnam War, Spratt served as a captain in the U.S. Army in the office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense. He remained an ally of the military and made veterans' issues a key component for the rest of his life, both in and out of office. By 2010, Spratt was in the early stages of Parkinson's disease. For a few years following his tenure in Congress, he served as a visiting professor of public policy at Winthrop University. He later retired from public life to his home in York, where his Parkinson's disease worsened over the past decade.
Thanks, Scott, for that story. And we have another passing to report, that is of former State Senator Kay Patterson. The Associated Press reports that Patterson, who rose from cleaning offices at the segregated statehouse to serving as a state legislator for over 30 years, died on Friday. He was 93. Patterson was born in 1931 in Darlington County and was raised by his grandmothers. They recalled his hard-headed spirit early, recommending he not take a job as a golf caddy or shoe shiner because he was likely to mouth off to white people in segregated 1940s South Carolina and get in trouble. Jeffrey Collins' story continues by saying, instead, Patterson served in the military and then got his teaching degree through the GI Bill at Allen University. While in college, he cleaned offices at the segregated Capitol, where he and other black people couldn't be unless they were working. Patterson spent 30 years in education and was elected to the South Carolina House in 1974 and the Senate 10 years later after U.S. Representative Jim Clyburn urged him to run for the upper chamber seat. Now, in a statement, Clyburn called Patterson, quote, a trusted leader, a tireless champion for civil rights, and a treasured friend. He was a person of strength, determination, wisdom, and a long proponent of removing the Confederate flag from the South Carolina Statehouse dome, quote. Patterson was also the first black person to serve on the University of South Carolina Board of Trustees since Reconstruction. Okay, guys, strap in. I'm going to do some more reading here. We're going to be talking about bills, some pre-filed bills. Yes, there will be a quiz after this, so make sure you write down the bill numbers and who filed them. That's right, we're looking at pre-files by House Committee Chairman. Now, pre-filed legislation is an opportunity for lawmakers to get their bill right through the door once a session starts on January 14th. But just because it's filed doesn't mean it's going anywhere. In fact, usually hundreds of bills that get filed, they don't go anywhere. That's why we're looking at some of the heavy hitters to see what is on their plate, what their priorities are, and what could be poised to move. Now, not every committee chairman has bills really worth diving into. Some actually didn't even file any, and some are just too wonky or niche. But let's start in the House Education Committee with Chairwoman Shannon Erickson, who filed H 3200, in which she wants to see public school governing bodies, including the bodies of charter schools and special schools, make reasonable and necessary efforts to ensure that the entirety of meetings, we're talking about school board meetings, are open and accessible to the public and also available by means of live electronic access. We're talking live stream, except during executive sessions. Now, if they cannot provide live stream access, they want to make sure that the audio and video recording of a meeting is available in its entirety on its website as soon as possible, and in no event more than 2 business days after the meeting. So, transparency here at school board meetings, that's what this bill is about. And of course, she also wants the School Board of Education to adopt and revise as necessary a model live stream meeting policy. Erickson also wants to make breast pumps, breast pump collection and storage supplies, and breast pump kits exempt from sales tax in H 3565. Next up, another Erickson bill. This is a red meat anti-DEI diversity, equity, inclusion bill, H 3572, which is also co-sponsored by House Speaker Merle Smith. So that's a power couple. It states that when determining admissions or employment decisions, a public institution of higher learning may not expend any funds to promise admission benefits or promote or engage in differential treatment to an applicant for admission or hire on the applicant's commitment to making a declaration of personal support for or against any political ideology or movement, including a promise regarding diversity, equity, inclusion, or other associated political issues. So this is lawyer ease for no DEI. going to the Judiciary Committee, where Chairman Weston Noon wants to continue the House's crackdown on images of a sexual nature from being released without a party's consent in Bill H. 3049. That's a big one. We've seen laws pass on that previously, so could easily see some support there for that. Now, in H. 3523, Newton proposes a constitutional amendment referendum question that would go before voters in which they can vote to repeal Section 4, Article 11 of the state's constitution, which would eliminate the prohibition against the state or its political subdivisions from providing direct aid to religious or other private educational institutions. You heard Russ McKinney talking about this in our previous episode where we're talking about school vouchers. This would put it to the people and say, do you want tax dollars going to private schools? Yes, no. H. 3523. Next up, Newton's H. 3431 would require beginning March 1st, 2026, that a social media company shall make reasonable efforts to verify the age of South Carolina account holders and may not permit a resident who is under 18 to be an account holder unless they have consent of a parent or guardian. Moving to the Legislative Oversight Committee, where Chairman Jeff Johnson of Conway once again filed his Organized Retail Crime Bill, H. 3523, that creates the offense and increases penalties for three or more people conspiring to commit theft of retail property from an establishment. A previous bill made it through both chambers and into a conference committee, where it died last session. 3M Committee Chairwoman Celeste Davis filed H. 3334, which would create a South Carolina Government Efficiency Task Force to develop recommendations for improving and streamlining governmental operations to include downsizing as appropriate, reduction and streamlining of regulations, and cost reduction measures. Paging Elon and Vivek, can you say SC Doge? Operations and Management Chairman Patrick Haddon wants to ban companies and or subsidiaries that are owned by adversaries like China, Iran, Russia, and or North Korea from owning, leasing, possessing, or controlling any real estate in South Carolina in Bill H. 3408. Just a few more. These are interesting, right? Come on. Everyone's talking about these. These are bills that we might be seeing moving, where I'm just kind of priming you for next year. Now, Regulations and Administrative Procedures Chairman Jeff Bradley's H. 3021 would require a committee to reduce regulatory requirements by 25%. In fact, for every new regulation an agency proposes, it must identify two existing regulations to remove. All regulations must include an assessment report that shows regulation's benefits exceed its costs. The bill is also co-sponsored by House Speaker Merle Smith.
Power couple.
And speaking of Speaker Smith, he once again has sponsored a bill, H. 3007, to call for a convention of states for a balanced budget amendment. This is always a nice little red meat bill right there. H. 3309 is similar to the bill proposed last year dealing with utilities, paging Russ McKinney. It would reduce the number of people on the Public Service Commission, prioritize economic development customers, reform regulatory appeals in that process, promote nuclear power, including a small modular nuclear reactor pilot program, and more. Now, this utility restructuring bill has been the focus of many off-season meetings after the Senate quickly moved to approve the bill before hitting speed bumps at the end of session. So we will continue our look at what the Senate has pre-filed when we return from our break. And now you know what me reading two, almost three pages of text sounds like. Did I make it engaging? 803-563-7169. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. Along with you and me is A.T. Shire, lead producer.
Oh, we're all here. It's so good to be here with you, Gavin. And you, listener.
Hello. It's like, you can't see us right now, but me and A.T. are like the little who's down in Whoville. We don't care. You know, that's going to go into our conversation because they had all their stuff stolen by the Grinch. And they didn't care about the things. But you know what?
This is the opposite.
They want the things. Mm-hmm. They need the things. Yeah. That's what Christmas is for
them. Gavin is getting on my level, folks, and I like that. Because what did you do this weekend?
Well, I did a lot of things. I did a lot of consuming. But this thing I watched on Netflix, the Buy Now documentary, really just looking into just how much we consume, how much we produce, mm-hmm. how much one-time waste we produce. It's disturbing, folks, and it's something that's always in the back of our minds. I know mm-hmm. it's in the back of my mind, talking about fast fashion, one-time use cups and plastic things, and it's just...
A straw.
Just things that you don't really need, and maybe you don't need to actually keep buying as much as you do. I'm not saying not to give gifts to show your affection, but my love language isn't entirely about gifts. You know, I think it's
about
time.
Tinned fish.
Oh, my God. You can recycle that, I'm pretty sure. The fish is sustainable, you know.
But
I'm all about
going,
that.
But like, you're on a heater.
You know,
go.
I think about things. I love antique shopping. There's so much out there that's reusable. We know
we love
antique. We love to thrift. I just don't feel this need to always have to buy new things. I get a new suit every now and then, but I wear the hell out of it. You know, new shoes when I need to.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't buy just to buy, mostly because, you know, I don't have all the money to spend on that stuff too. So maybe that's different, but it's also, you know, you might be at work on the computer and you start clicking through and you're like, oh, I need this, I need that. Then you're like, no.
It's been designed to make you feel
that
way.
And they talk about that. They go through this whole process. They talk about this woman who worked for Amazon who was working on the user experience from like the formative days of Amazon up through our current iteration with like the one click and
the
all this
stuff.
The
most cutthroat time.
The right colors, the right click-throughs, the way it's designed. Everything goes into making you want to buy as much as possible. But you got to be like, and then like the Temus and the Sheins of the world. Like,
I'm all against. I
have
don't
bought
like
from them before one or two things, but then you get the fashion and the cuts are wrong. It's itchy. It's fake.
It's
like
made of plastic.
It's made of plastic, which is also contributing
to
your like
skin.
Yeah, and it's all getting leached into the water supply, and now we're becoming part plastic. Like all these problems, and it's like, let's take a minute and think, do I really need this? Why am I buying this?
You sound like me talking about the wagons that we carry our children and everything that they own with us. That you sound like me talking about SUVs when they're so large, I need 20 cup holders so I can take everything I own with me at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we are at this nexus point in America of, do we need all this stuff? Do we need this stuff constantly? And of course, I've been dying to talk about this Amazon commercial.
I teed you up just for this.
Gavin teed me up just for this. I don't know if you people have been watching like Thursday Night Football or something like that when it's on Amazon Prime. They play this commercial where a custodian is singing, okay?
The heart is warming right now.
The heart is warming. The cockles filled with love.
And everyone's hearing him?
They're hearing this guy. Oh, he's so good at singing. So I know the only way to make a Christmas miracle happen is to use Amazon.
Let me get my phone and go ahead and buy some things for him.
Amazon really brought this all together. And it is one of the lowest common denominator pandering-like commercials. Like, and it's... It bothers me so much when it's on the screen. It
and
bothers me so much.
It's,
I just, go
it's
off.
About evoking that emotion, not your emotion,
the other
but the Hallmark Channel emotion, where it's like, oh, we're all doing something good.
Spend.
We're using this big corporation to make this heartfelt moment.
We're our neighbor. They're our neighbors.
Like, don't get me wrong,
I should spend.
I'm
more.
An Amazon Prime member. I have the credit card. I have all the things. I've been doing some shopping there. But I'm just, you have to be way more aware. Like, and it's this need, I think, that for us to be like,
what they're trying to get you to do.
Old clothes, and it's like, I'm not like, you know, wear some basics. It's all like, unless it gets really ruined, I don't really buy stuff unless I need stuff.
But
you know, man,
that
shop
janitor,
at Aldi, you
that
know?
Janitor needed that suit from Amazon to sing that song for the whole crew and bring Christmas.
Just get some awareness, you know, like they're talking about e-waste. I mean, I've had the same laptop for going on 8 years here.
He still has all the connections on the side, the good stuff.
I do. Now, don't get me wrong. I need a new laptop, and we have this whole Apple situation going on here.
It makes a lot of noise.
But, you know, you just go through. I don't get new phones unless one breaks, you know, or it really starts slowing down unless we get a new one at work. But, like, just be aware. Be more aware is the takeaway. I'm not saying you can't shop because we know our economy depends on it.
The reason for
this It's the reason for these Honda days.
It's not consumption. It's being together, folks.
Thank you,
okay?
AT.
And together we must end this podcast,
during this
Gavin.
Ultimate driving season of
thank you,
giving.
Yes. The real reason of the season is giant bows
I was
on cars
say, you might
that
get
you,
a
don't
big bow.
You don't consult your significant other. You just get
Did
the
you
car
want this
with
car?
The bow.
It came with the bow, babe. It's
That's
yours now.
That's what you do, okay?
You don't like it?
You don't love me, babe?
Okay.
All right.
Well,
divorce.
I hope that Rena learns to consume.
However, if you want to give us a present.
Oh, give us a present of a call, please, people. Anyway, Gavin, say goodbye to everyone. Have a good week. And don't forget to consume.
Yes, that is, two-thirds of our economy right there. We need you shopping. 803-563-7169. Let us know what you're up to, what you're buying this year, what's hot or not for 2025. We will have a dedicated episode soon. And you can stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org/news and southcarolinapublicradio.org. Also, don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. That's a gift right there for you folks. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I do like Suedehead.
You like all the songs. It's your favorite band. Your favorite band, without a doubt.
I mean, the lyrics are just there.
They're
for
not
me.
Good. They're terrible. They're terrible lyrics.